Coach Your Brains Out is supported by our amazing patrons. New patrons include Dan Buring and Bobby Mitchell. Thanks for your support. Check out patreon.com/coachyourbrainsout to join these heroes. Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
Today on the show, we're lucky to be talking with Michelle Bartsch. Michelle was recently named Most Valuable Player of the 2018 FIVB Volleyball Nations League, or the BNL. She led the U.S. to victory, and we're really excited to have her. So thanks for joining us, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So I know Nations League is a long event. Can you give us a little recap of what the event really is and what were some of the keys for you guys winning the event?
Yeah, I mean, no one really knew what the tournament would be like just because it is the first year they've done it. And it was a beast. It was pretty long. It was also a little challenging for us just because we hadn't trained really together for that long as a team because we were all finishing our seasons professionally overseas and then having a few days or in some cases 2 days off and then going straight to Nebraska. So really we were just figuring it out as we went, like flying off the seat of our pants a little bit.
And how long is it exactly?
It was 5 weeks of prelims and then 1 week off and finals week. So,
wow.
I mean, technically we're together 7 weeks straight.
So what do you think was some keys for you guys having success and winning it?
Yeah, I think really being able to adapt and adjust the entire time. I think we played a bunch of different lineups and different people in different places. And I think that really we just all trusted each other. Even if we haven't played that much together, we just knew, okay, the girl next to me is going to take care of her job. If I can take care of my job, then let's just go figure out a way to win.
Nice.
Cool. And for today's show, we wanted to talk a little bit about resiliency. And I know you have missed a few roster spots and didn't make the 2016 Olympic team, which had to be mm-hmm. tough. What helped you stick with it and go for it for another quad?
Yeah. I mean, really the first two summers were like, for me, the end of the quad. So 2015, 2016. So I wasn't expecting to be as close as I was for the Rio roster, but I think really I was so close with only 2 years of training with the team and not really knowing a bunch of the top players because I'd barely been on any tournaments with any of the players. Like this past tournament was the first time that I played next to Jordan, so like that is just huge for me to be able to play next to her. But I hadn't had that experience up until this summer. So even going to Rio in that position, like I think that I don't know if I would have been ready and I don't know if the team would have been ready for that situation to happen. But I mean, I think just working as hard as I can in those 2 years, like got me that far. And I knew if I had maybe 4 years or 6 years under my belt, I could maybe have a little bit more of a shot.
It's, I guess you invest in the long game with that sort of thinking. Did you ever consider quitting or, giving up on that dream?
No.
What helps you persevere?
I don't know. I just think that I love the sport and just I have so much passion for learning and getting to know the game. And I feel like I'm still learning today as a player. And I think it's just still challenging every day. And I just love that feeling of going into practice and being challenged every single day.
And what's the dynamic you feel like with other teammates who you're on the same team, but you're also competing with other outsides. I guess just what does that feel like? Cause you're both competitors and teammates. What's it feel like in the gym?
Yeah, I mean, our gym is super competitive to begin with. To even be inside the gym is an amazing accomplishment for anyone, but then to be pushing for a starting spot, I think everyone handles it really well. I think there's days that it gets a little more heated in the gym just because someone's not calling their touches or something, someone's in the net and not calling it. And like those little plays could really affect someone's stats in order to make a roster. So I think everyone is pushing for all those small points, but I think we do a good job in finding the balance between like competing and pushing each other, but also being supportive.
And how are your teammates or coaches supportive when things, you know, when you weren't making the roster and kind of during that period?
Yeah. I mean, it was weird for me just because I was on a lot of the Pan Am rosters and also not getting a bunch of playing time during those Pan Am games or Pan Am Cups or whatever they were. And I played with Carly Lloyd a lot during those times. And I think she's just an awesome person and awesome teammate. And I know that she's also gone through a lot to get where she is. And to be, like, looking up to her is really cool.
What does resiliency mean to you? Like, how would you define that?
I would just say, like, putting down your head and working really hard no matter what is happening outside of your control, just controlling what you can control and working hard every day.
Do you think it's something you're born with, or do you think it's a skill?
I think it's definitely a learned skill because everyone is thrown obstacles, and it's kind of how you respond to those obstacles.
And what do you think, like, I don't know if there's a percentage you can put on it, you don't have to do that, but how important do you think it is compared to, like, you know, the technical skills like serving and passing? Like, where does it measure, like, a skill like resiliency?
Yeah, I don't know the percentage, but I think that I wouldn't say 50-50. I think it's equally as important as being able to master a skill.
And I think in a lot of gyms, people are spending most of their time mastering the technical skills, which I'm guilty of that for sure. So what do you think coaches and parents or teachers can do to help build this skill in athletes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, my mom coaches like 11-year-olds and she deals with parents a lot. And I know that it's frustrating as a parent, like when your kid isn't making a roster or your kid isn't making a team, they make the B team and not the A team. And some of those parents are like saying it's okay for their kid to quit or it's okay to just give up. But I think just the opposite, like I've not made rosters even with like the youth and junior teams, and my dad I think really instilled that in me, like, you just don't ever quit. Like if I were to quit something, I think he would have maybe thrown me out of the house.
were there things that coaches said to you, like, say, you know, you're at the Pan Ams and you're not playing at all, or you haven't made some rosters, or the things they said or showed you that they still believed in you to keep you going? Or is it just the fear of your dad?
No, I think, I mean, I had a bunch of coaches during those Pan Ams because Karch and Tom, I kind of barely saw them, especially my first summer, because the top team is obviously traveling a lot more. And I think the coaches that I've had have always been just really nice and saying, like, we appreciate, like, the work that you're doing, or we appreciate how much you're pushing other players. And for me, just knowing, like, if I was making someone else nervous, like, even if I didn't personally get to play, if I was, like, pushing someone else or making them a little nervous about their spot or making them compete a little bit more, then I was doing my job.
Nice. And I know you only, like you said, you only had 2 years before Rio, so maybe that was part of it, but I guess because you're kind of killing it right now, if you knew what you knew now, or given how well you're playing, is there anything you'd go back and tell yourself in 2014-15 when you're trying to fight for that spot for Rio?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, like, honestly, experience. Like, last summer I was really lucky to be on Grand Prix and got a lot of playing time during Grand Prix, and Carly was setting the entire time of Grand Prix, and I think that really helped, I know me, I would say both of us, but I don't want to speak for her, and, like, we had instilled that trust of a whole previous tournament, and just she felt comfortable giving me my set, and she knew exactly what my set was. And I mean, I think, yeah, I just think experience really, if I hadn't gone through that, I don't know if I would be doing as well as I'm doing now.
Yeah, I mean, experience is huge. What about if you were in a situation where you weren't getting as much playing time, is there any way to get that that experience if you're not really starting or getting a ton of playing time? Is there any way to replicate that in practice or anything with how you mentally approach the game?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I spend a lot of time just doing reps by myself, because also, at least how our gym is set up, like the starters get most of the playing time in 6-on-6. And for me, like, I just knew, okay, if I wasn't going to get any 6-on-6 time or doing this, like, then I could practice on serving the entire time, and maybe my serve would get good enough that I could come in and serve a few balls as a serving sub once or twice. So I don't know if there's any way to exactly replicate playing in a match, but I think there's ways to improve your game for sure.
And in 2017, you were named USA Volleyball's Most Improved Player. What do you think you improved on most? Like, what helped with that growth?
Honestly, I think just being comfortable and confident in what I was doing, and I've always had like relatively successful career, like seasons overseas with my professional teams, and I think just bringing that back and learning and working while you're away from the USA gym has really benefited me. I was given, like, I played 3 years in Germany, which was a little bit lower level of volleyball, but I think it really helped me improve over time.
Did you have like a clear vision, like, oh, I see, I don't know, so-and-so's in front of me and they do this better than me, so I'm going to work on something? Or is it just kind of just plugging away day by day and seeing where you end up?
Yeah, I mean, you sort of have, I don't know if it's like what I had put into my brain, or like, I mean, Karch discussed a little bit about like, okay, who they're taking to the rosters, and you kind of know, okay, they're better at attacking than I am, or she's better at passing than I am. And I think everyone had their roles, and I just didn't have like a role to fit into. So anytime that I had met with Karch or anything, he would always talk about like, okay, we need you to be able to withstand serving pressure for an entire match. Like, that needs to be something that you can work on. So he's pretty good at like drawing that picture for us, I think.
And so when you'd go overseas, you were clear, like, that's okay, so I'm going to, you know, try to get a ton of reps and serve receive, that sort
of
thing?
Yeah.
Nice. So then, say pre-practice, when you're going into practice now, are there things you do to kind of ready yourself both physically and mentally?
Yeah. Well, I always eat breakfast at the gym. Step one.
That's
and
big.
Then usually I'll try to get passing reps before practice. We have like a lot of, especially now is a big training block for us, and it's the biggest one we've had this summer. And so we're working a lot on like very singular focuses. So like this week, my whole focus has been really simple arms from platform. So like when I'm passing, just keeping my arms low and then going directly to the angle that I want to pass the ball at. So like that is the little thing I've been working on all week and have gotten hundreds of reps just working on that one thing.
And so before practice, are you thinking about that, or is it just kind of come in and the coaches tell you what you're going to work on that day?
No, like I know for sure, like this is what I'm working on. I'm coming in to get those reps just to work on like simple arms. That's what I'm doing for 15 minutes before practice starts.
And what are some of the techniques they're using to help you kind of build that habit?
We have a lot of really good servers that are in the gym, and even coaches are great at getting us reps and hitting us in the same spot every time. And I think just we get sent a bunch of video and just watching, like I watched Kayla Banworth pass a lot just because she was so simple and so solid that, like, that's what I want to be. But just watching that over and over helps me visualize what I need to be doing. I'm, like, really a visual learner, so that helps me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people learn that way. Actually, Billy just sent me a clip of his two-year-old passing a ball, and he was using a lot of legs. So maybe we'll send him a clip of you. What do you think, Billy?
Yeah, I think so.
He'd definitely be simpler.
Need some work. So that was kind of like the pre-practice where you're kind of honing in on some tutoring. What does the rest of a USA practice look like for an outside hitter?
A lot of things. We have been rotating through courts a lot. So there's always like a blocking court, a serving court, a passing court, and a hitting court. So obviously we go through all of those and a couple times. And during those, each court has a specific focus. Like this week at practice, we've been working on it really long and then being able to get it to drop without being like a very loopy serve, if that makes sense. Just changing depth.
And which court's your favorite?
Oof. Can't really have a favorite skill if I have to do all of them well. I like passing just because I know that I need to work on it and I know that I need a lot of reps to feel comfortable. And I think I'm pretty good at, maybe too good sometimes, at being like a singular focus, because I'll be focusing on that thing and the ball will come at me and I completely shank it, but my arms are great. So it's really frustrating, especially when you're trying to win a drill.
And what are the coaches' feedback in that situation where you're doing a good job of focusing on one thing, but maybe the result isn't there?
Yeah, they're really good, especially Tama is working with us with passing, and she knows exactly what everyone is working on. And she's like, all right, that's fine. Like, your arms are great. Like, don't worry about the result, which is correct, but also very hard when you're trying to win a servers versus passers drill, where if you get aced, you lose 4 points. Like, It is hard as a competitor.
And do you think it's, I guess, the right thing just to work on the long-term skill, or is it, do you think you're losing anything out by not being competitive in that moment?
No, I think in the long scheme, for sure, it's great. And that's like how I was trained. That's how Kevin Hamley trained us. And that's, I think, where I love training like that. And it's just frustrating more than anything when you're in such a competitive gym.
Right.
Do you think this gets harder to have the singular focus as you get, say, as the quad starts to end and you're fighting for an Olympic spot? Is that, or should that shift? Should you be more on the result, or do you want to stay on the process even as you get closer to the Olympics?
I think ideally you would still want to be on the process, because the whole 4 years of the quad, you've been working and training to stay on the process and to work and get better every day. And if you completely change how you're training just because the Olympics are coming up, I think that could be dangerous. But I think that probably does happen for not just volleyball athletes, but probably every athlete.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I've been told by your teammates that you're a very even keeled player. Is that correct, do you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What helps you keep your composure when, say, you're playing really well or the team's playing well, or when the team is struggling?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I've kind of always been that way. And I've had a lot of coaches and players try to change me and saying that I'm not competitive or I'm not loud enough or whatever it is. And for me to be playing my best, I know that's how I have to be. And it's kind of my personality too. So I know that to be the best volleyball player, I need to stay within my personality. And if I were screaming and yelling, I wouldn't even recognize myself.
Was there a time when you gave it a try? Like, you were sick of coaches and parents or whatever saying that you're just not loud and fired up, and did you ever try to play kind of outside your personality?
No, I think I do the opposite. That if a coach would want me to be yelling, I would just be silent. Like, it is so uncomfortable for me. I don't think that I would do it.
I think 13 hours of sleep helps you be even keeled too.
Yeah, that must be it. That's maybe the secret.
That's cool that you, I think it's great that you're clear on, you know, what you look like at your best, what you play like at your best, and you stick to it no matter what external factors try to change you. So stay with that.
Yeah, do you, it has not been easy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I think, Billy and I are similar in that way. And I think sometimes people want us to play differently.
Michelle, real quick, did you ever find that, I guess, over the course of your career, that you thought you got looked over because you weren't like standing out vocally as like a vocal leader on the floor? Did you think it ever hurt your, as far, you know, you're kind of like making spots or whatever?
Yeah, I think maybe at the beginning when I first got into the gym, because there aren't a lot of players like me that are pretty quiet, and there's a few on our team now, but I think when I came in during that quad, like, I was not like everyone else. And I think, yeah, maybe at the beginning, but once people get to know me, I think it all makes sense.
It's important to know your teammates. So, yeah. I mean, we know communication during the play is a big skill. Are you still like vocal in that sense?
Yeah. Communicating like before, during, and after plays. I think during has been the most difficult for me because I'm also not very loud. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times Carly has been like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll try to like change my octave or something to try to be more loud. But I think that has been maybe the hardest, is to try to be loud, especially in loud gyms.
Yeah.
John gets told that he's boring on the court. And so your advice to him would just be kind of stick with it.
Try to be more boring. Do you feel like you ever get burned out on volleyball? I know you play overseas and then you come back and play with the national team. Are there things you do to help yourself stay excited about volleyball?
I think it's, I don't know. I think it's special for me just because I'm married and my husband is like totally not a volleyball guy. And he, like, I can come home and I can just like switch off my brain and we don't have to talk about volleyball for days. He would be fine not talking about it. And I think that helps, like, during season. I'm not always on like a volleyball brain. I'm pretty good at turning it off and on. Karch is good about trying to give us time off. Like, we have most weekends off when we're in California. So that's nice. I think the hardest part is being overseas and playing two or three matches a week and not having any time off. And I think it's just a mental struggle for everyone, just at some points, just trying to get through it, really.
How do you keep it fresh? How do you stay excited?
I am always just trying to like learn. So if I'm able to get video, then I can work on a certain skill and just like really singular focus on whatever skill it is. Sometimes it is, I mean, I'm lucky enough to play in Italy, so everyone is fired up about volleyball all the time. So it's pretty easy to like get hyped during matches, but sometimes at practice, even just being able to work on one skill, because a lot of overseas practices are the same every single day for 6 months.
So what do you do in those scenarios? I know you have your singular focus of like being simpler with your platform. Are there other things you're doing, focusing on?
I think it changes from week to week. I'm not sure how this season will go, but last season our coach was really good about letting us work on what we wanted to work on, because we had a bunch of really young Italian national team players, and he would just be like, okay, do you want to play defense today? We can play defense today. And then we would just get defensive reps after practice. And he was good. Even if our practices were the same, after practice, it was like a free for all. You could work on whatever you wanted to work on. And they were really accommodating.
And you mentioned watching video What other things do you do off the court to help grow your game?
Yeah, video and meditation. I have the Headspace app, and my husband yelled at me for buying the year subscription, but it's really, like, it's so great. I love doing that.
Was it, and, sorry, as far as the meditation, did you get into it right away, or was it a struggle at first?
It's a struggle at first, and especially for being as sleepy as I am. Like, it was pretty easy to fall asleep after, like, 5 minutes. But if you start, like, pretty short, doing, like, one to two minutes at the beginning, and I still cannot do just, like, meditation. I need someone to be talking through it with me. So I cannot just lay there. I need something to listen to.
Yeah, I've had mixed results with meditation. I like it when I do it, but I'm not often motivated enough to actually do it. So yeah,
it's kind of like yoga for me. Like, I love doing yoga, and every time I do it, I'm like, yes, that was a great decision. But I'm never like, ooh, yay, let's do yoga.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's pretty similar with meditation.
Right.
Cool. So you mentioned meditation. Then, like, I guess, what does a video session look like for you? You mentioned looking at some examples of other players, and are you scouting at all, or what are you looking at?
Yeah, I really like watching men's players play, just because Kevin at Illinois had always, like, told us that he coaches us like boys, like he wanted us to play the same way and run everything the same way, and for me, like, even then, back in college, like, I was just always watching guys' national team players. So I think I like doing that. And also, like, Kelsey passing, Kayla passing, like, all the good passers in our gym, just watching them and watching what they do. And not really being able to, like, exactly pass like them, but take little bits and pieces from how they do things and try to put it into your game to see if it works or not.
And is there anything you see in the men's game from some of those players that I guess the women aren't doing, or it's underused?
I love Quick Bick more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, like, the women's can run it as fast as the men, just because we don't jump nearly as high as they do, and it's not as undetectable, I guess. And we run Bick with a gap, and we kind of, like, always fill this empty spaces, and we don't run it right over the top, which I think we're trying to do a little bit more, but I love that a lot. And I think some of the angles that the outsides are hitting are insane.
Yeah, it seems like that Quick Bick is just undefendable. I don't know how you, other than just crushing your serve, I don't know how you can stop that play.
There's no way. You can't stop it.
For sure. So we have some patrons, people who help support the show, and one of them, we're lucky enough to have Keegan Cook, who's the head coach at University of Washington, who's also a former guest. And we'd been emailing, and he had asked a question, not specifically for you, but I thought I'd like to hear your answer. So he was kind of wondering just what coaches can do to help grow players' self-confidence.
I think it's hard for a player to grow if you're focusing only on the negative things. For me, I don't respond very well, I think maybe for anyone, to be told negative things. I think I've always had really positive coaches and responded really well to them. Like, Karch is extremely positive, but also, like, firm and direct with what he wants you to do and what direction he wants you to go in. But if you're making steps towards that, and even if you're not achieving where you want to be, where he wants us to be, then he's still, like, praising you and telling you, like, okay, that's fine, like, keep working, things like that. It's hard just to hear, no, you're doing it wrong, no, you're doing this wrong. Like, that is really tough.
Can you think of a, like, specific example where maybe Kevin or Karch did something to help grow your self-confidence?
I think Kevin would maybe have more of a yeah, Kevin has spent more time with me and knows me pretty well. Yeah, I don't. I mean, he had always just told me, like, okay, the team needs you. And I think hearing that makes you want to play for other people and not just yourself.
Yeah, that's huge.
Michelle, do you set goals?
I used to, and I don't really anymore. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Why have you gone away from it? What have you found with that process?
I mean, we have, like, we've gone through, like, goal setting. I've done it multiple times with a lot of teams, and we've even done it a little bit this summer, but, I mean, I can tell you, like, one of my biggest goals is pretty general. It's, like, to be one of the top five best outside hitters in the world and to maintain that level. And I think it's just so hard to write out exactly what you want to do because you're never going to exactly take those steps and there's always going to be issues and problems in the way or things outside of your control, like not making a roster or injuries or something like that. And I think it can just get a little bit dangerous if you're like, okay, this is exactly where I want to be in like 1 year. And I don't know if that is, it just doesn't work very well for me. But I know a lot of people it works well for.
And I saw you were the assistant coach for Dave Niffen for the men's team at UCI. Did coaching have any effect on you as a player?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was a student assistant at Illinois my fifth year. And then wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then Niff was like, come out here and help me. And I was like, all right, sounds good. But at that point, I had thought that I was done playing volleyball and was just really focusing on coaching and being the best coach that I could be. And being in that role, I just missed volleyball so much and made me want to keep playing.
So you had actually decided to stop at one point?
Yeah, I did not want to play anymore.
Wow. Did coaching help you become a better player at all?
I think so. I think that being, especially coaching like college guys, it's a completely different experience than college girls. And I loved Irvine and everything about it and the program and what NIF is trying to do here. And I think that it just gave me a whole different perspective of just like speed and what they do and how, I mean, it's just so different than what I'd been used to that it's just, yeah, I think a different perspective more than anything.
That's awesome. So we have just a couple more. I know this is past your bedtime here. It's almost past 8:30. You got to go to get you to sleep. But, a couple more. We have a listener question. It's from Carly Lloyd.
Oh, gosh.
She says that you're an awesome teammate. And her question was just, what does it mean to be a good teammate?
I think not worried about your personal play and worried about how the team is doing as a whole. Like, for me, I think that it would hurt to not be able to play as a starter or contribute as any way possible on the court. But if the team is doing well and the team is winning, you kind of have to be okay with that.
Were there things you did when you were, say, on the bench, in other years that you're able to still contribute to the team?
Yeah, I think in practice every single day you're contributing, whether you're able to score against someone or block someone. I think that pushes them in different ways than they know that you're right behind them in whatever roster.
What about for like Carly specifically? I know I set in college and I feel like you set a pretty good ball and no one cares and you hear all about it when you mess one up. Are there things you do with setters to help them play better?
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask Carly that.
Maybe
Yeah, you should ask her. But okay. I don't know. I think that especially with Carly, she sees the game really well, not just like from setting, but like even attacking if my arm is slow, like I want her to tell me like your arm's slow, like I set a great ball, like you just need to hit that. Mm. I would much rather hear that than like me going to her and being like, I don't understand why I didn't score. Like I love like getting feedback like that from Carly. Just like, I feel like I set a good ball, but I think you can do this better. And I think that's a really important skill for her to have.
Yeah, that's really direct. is that I'm guessing you had to work to get to that point. Are you like that with other setters?
Yeah, I think Carly and I are way more direct than I would be with anyone else, just because I think that we're also friends off the court and we have like a trusting relationship. But I think I'm getting there with Micah for sure. And then this year I'm playing with Lauren Carlini in Italy. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the more direct you can be in a match, then the better it is for everyone.
How do you get to that point where you can be that direct?
I think just for me not to take anything personally that she's going to say to me. And I think she has to be the same way. Like, it's not about her or her personality or anything that she's doing. It's just like, that's how we're going to win. That's what we need to do.
Is that like a conversation you guys had off the court, or she's just seen like she's able to do it and you don't respond negatively?
I think we've totally talked about it before. Especially, I think my first summer, we were roommates like the first for every single tournament that we were in together. I think it was two tournaments and we were roommates both times. And I think we did have a lot of those conversations just because she didn't know me and I didn't know her. And even if like neither of us were playing, then it was important for the teammates to have those kind of conversations.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like you guys have developed a really healthy relationship where you're going to keep learning. So okay, she has a follow-up question. This one's a little more serious, more important. She's wondering who's going to win the guacamole off next week, I guess, between her and your husband.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm going to have a wrong answer either way.
Yeah, this is a tough spot.
Yeah.
Are you the judge?
We're going to get you on air here saying it. So.
Yeah. I have not had Carly's guacamole, but she says hers is good and her mom's is also even better. And they're from California and they have like avocados on their land.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking just that factor, they're going to have to win.
They're the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they're from Fallbrook, which is like the avocado capital of the world, John.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
But never count out an underdog.
Yeah, but my husband is also from the middle of Illinois, so I don't know. He's seen like, I think Carly might be the favorite.
Blowout.
Well, we're going to have you film it and tell us or show us who won.
Okay.
We'll put it on our Twitter or something.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle, so you have a cooking or baking website?
I do, yes.
So John and I both do the majority of the cooking in our households. Do you have any recipes or any dishes we should try? You could give us some tips?
Ooh. Okay, do you watch the Food Network?
No.
I've seen it.
Oh, come on. Okay, so Pioneer Woman on the Food Network is like my all-time favorite cook. She's like a self-taught cook and she's a stay-at-home mom basically, and I'm not saying she has the healthiest recipes, but anything from her recipe book is like a winner. You just have to be careful with the butter. She uses a lot of butter in her baked goods.
it sounds like some Midwest stuff, huh?
Oh, for sure. And she has like, she's from Oklahoma, and we went last summer to, she just opened like a mercantile there, and she has a restaurant, and she's opening two new restaurants there, and we went last summer and I was just like in heaven the whole time. I'm just a little obsessed.
Nice. What's the name of your website?
It's Make Eat Bake.
Make Eat Bake. Check it out.
It's also the initials, so MEB are my initials, and Make Eat Bake. Yeah, it's not up to par of like any food blogger, but it's just kind of a hobby, especially overseas. I have a lot of extra time and I love to bake and cook. So it was just something fun to do.
Nice, nice. I'm looking at it now. Looks legit.
Billy was cooking.
Oh no.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I think kind of the lessons that you learned going through that, the first Rio quad and then kind of how you've, been improving and stuff ever since is a good lesson for a lot of players out there. So thanks. And for us, John and me as well. So thanks for sharing that. And, it was great talking with you.
Cool. No problem. Hopefully I answered all your questions well enough.
Yeah. Go get to sleep. Those 12 hours in. No, thanks so much for doing this. This was fun. We learned a lot.
Yeah. No problem.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you'd like to support the show, you can visit patreon.com/coachyourbrainsout and become a regular donor.